Today on Tax Justice Warriors, I am going to talk about the tax practitioner speaker panel that went before the revenue officer trainees at the IRS Kansas City campus. I think this will be informative on talking about pieces from the practitioner side and from the IRS. Thank you for tuning in to Tax Justice Warriors.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
Last week, I took part in the tax practitioner speaker panel that we were addressing several revenue officer trainees. I believe the number was around 80 who were in attendance, that I was invited as part of the low-income taxpayer clinic program to address the group. And it turned out that I was one of three speakers representing tax practitioners. There were two other gentlemen with me, and I was there for the first hour. I had to leave early because I was part of a conference call helping to address the Collection Due Process Summit initiative, but it worked out well that I was able to take part and answer their various questions that they had prepared. I was there for part of the audience question and answer session, and I got to speak with one of the trainers after the session to get a little bit of feedback from him. So to begin with, they provided a set of five questions to us, and I was going to go through those questions, giving my answers here on this episode. And the revenue officer trainees, it is my understanding that it has been about 10 years since there was such a wave of revenue officer hires that this group was a set of internal candidates from within the IRS that changed positions, and a group of new hires that came from outside the IRS. And they had decided to keep the group mixed, that even though some things could be redundant for the previous IRS hires, but they wanted to build contacts within the IRS with both the new and old hires and to give them a mix of training so that hopefully the older candidates, the ones who had previous experience with the IRS, would be learning things with a fresh and new perspective with the totally new candidates. So I believe this was my fourth time coming to the Kansas City campus. And after going through security, then one of the trainers escorted the three tax practitioners, those of us, to the room, and we started in after introducing ourselves to the trainees. And I must admit, I did not catch the names of the other two speakers, but then we went in through the five questions. So the first question is about our general overview of expectations when working with a revenue officer, and then expectations of initial telephone call contact with a revenue officer. And so to some degree, when I introduced myself, I was saying that being within the low-income taxpayer clinic, I am working with people who are at 250% of the poverty level and below. So generally, those candidates aren't necessarily working with revenue officers. But then within the low-income taxpayer clinic program, we do have discretion to select some candidates over our income thresholds if there is a good policy reason behind that. And we are limited to 10% of our new cases during the year. That is the amount of cases that we can open that are over income. So some of those cases wind up being both high income and high liability, that those have been candidates more likely to mean working with a revenue officer. So I started out giving more my expectations of what I'm looking for from a revenue officer, but really saying that the revenue officers I've worked with have been quite good. It's just that there are some people from other departments within the IRS that may have soured my expectations and so gave me different qualities that I am looking for within a revenue officer candidate. So the first item that I would say is honesty from the revenue officer, that from the IRS to be saying these are the amounts that are owed, these are the options that are available, these are really the expectations that the IRS has of this individual, whether that would be making payments, whether that would be providing documents, filing tax returns, or whichever, that there would be honest communication from the IRS regarding what is going on with the taxpayer. Next, I would say a realistic communication from the IRS that if, for example, they're not able to get a hold of me in one day, that they do not just automatically close the case, that there be an expectation that both sides are busy, and just because someone does not respond one day does not mean that they will never respond. And so to have a realistic expectation of how to treat the case, for how long to keep it open, giving realistic time frames of perhaps a couple weeks or something like that, but that the time frames would be realistic in working with the revenue officer. And I also mentioned reasonable, that was really my third quality that I was looking for, that I mentioned working with a client in his 70s who owes hundreds of thousands of dollars to the IRS, but is on a steady income right now that will likely be going down in the future. He has lung and liver cancer and various issues, various debts, that realistically he is not going to be able to repay the entire amount. And so some kind of collection alternative needs to be in place, whether that is currently not collectible, a payment plan, an offer in compromise, that would be more realistic than him being able to pay everything in full. So generally, those qualities are what I'm looking for from a revenue officer. And with regard to the initial phone call contact, that it not just be once and done, especially if they're not able to get me on the phone the first time, that they have a little more patience in coming back to talk with me. The second question is about our approach to providing the collection information statement and balancing the need of the revenue officer to secure that information during a field call. And I basically said that I work with my client to provide the 433 information. I said that I prefer the 433F because it is two pages rather than the longer 433A, and that got some chuckles from the crowd. But if there is some supporting documentation that is necessary, I work with my client to provide all of that. And I said that I keep note of the local standards listed on the IRS website so that if a client is claiming various expenses, I check to make sure that those are within the IRS limits, or if they're going to be looking at something above and beyond, then I evaluate whether we should be getting more supporting documentation to show to the IRS that it is justified to be going above and beyond. The third question is about our process of having a client provide the trust fund recovery penalty interview face-to-face with the revenue officer, and I admitted that I don't really have experience regarding a trust fund recovery penalty interview, but in general, I would encourage my client to be compliant and truthful with the revenue officer and generally deal with it that way. The fourth question is the benefit of deadlines and enforced collection for ongoing voluntary compliance. I started this by saying that I truly believe the low-income taxpayer clinic program is about being a buffer between the IRS and the clients, that part of what we do is translate what the IRS needs to the client, but we also help the clients to get organized and provide paperwork to the IRS, provide information. And some of them truly have problems with being organized and staying on task. So I said that it is necessary to have deadlines and timelines in order to get people on a plan, to keep people organized. So I do agree it is necessary to have deadlines. And regarding enforced collection, basically, I understand that this is the IRS's need to do collections. I don't think I mentioned it to the revenue officers, but one item that I remember from IRS Commissioner Rettig saying is that the Internal Revenue Service is, and I am paraphrasing, that he was saying that they collect the money that helps the government to operate. So without their operations, then several of the government programs won't work at all. And the final question was regarding the collection appeals process and our approach to case resolution during appeals process, that I stated again that I encourage clients to be compliant and truthful, that the appeals process I do support, that sometimes it is necessary to work with appeals when there was not a proper resolution within the case beforehand. So you are working with appeals to have someone else review the situation and give their opinion. But I also mentioned that I am part of the Collection Due Process Summit Initiative, that there are issues there. So we're working to meet with various IRS people to foster communication and bring improvements to the process, and overall that we encourage our clients to be compliant throughout the process. And that was part of it when I do not remember all of the questions from the audience that they were asking. One question I do remember was, what are some of the things that the revenue officers can avoid from working with past revenue officers, basically asking what are some bad examples that they can learn from. And my response was basically that it wasn't necessarily revenue officers, but some of the random people on the phone at the IRS was just general rudeness, that I understand that people are busy on both sides of the phone, so if they can be more patient and essentially saying to be more polite with people they're working with, then I would recommend that. But I had to leave early, and so one of the trainers walked out with me. I asked what he thought of the conversation, and I asked if any of what was said seemed unrealistic on our part. He said no, he thought it was reasonable, and he was encouraged. He said that he was not sure how it would go over at first, since they had not done a program like this in several years, but he did think it went well, and he was encouraged that we also guide our clients to be compliant with the IRS, with making quarterly payments or filing tax returns, whichever is necessary for them to get compliant with the IRS. One item he did mention is that he does try and contact taxpayers 45 days before they have a scheduled appointment, telling them, I believe in a written letter, this is what you need to get ready for our meeting. And he said generally that has been very successful, that he thinks that works better when working with the taxpayers rather than how other people try and surprise the taxpayer, such as showing up first thing in the morning without any advance notice and then asking for paperwork from the taxpayer, such as a 433 statement filled out. And he said that with some people who have been there much longer, it is tougher to bring about change, but he certainly does feel like it is good work that they're doing, and he hopes that more of the newer people can find good ways to work with the taxpayers so that things are resolved for all parties involved. So overall, I thought it was a good experience. They were scheduled for another hour, and it seemed like it was somewhat winding down, so I'm not sure how long they went. But I am scheduled to speak with revenue officer trainees in September, and perhaps there will be more than that if there are going to be multiple waves of revenue officer trainees. So I look forward to speaking with them in the future. I am grateful for this opportunity, and I hope this was useful to you in thinking about interactions with the IRS, how they can be helpful on both sides to come to resolutions for taxpayers and for the IRS. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.